the Word of God.
We were all baptized. Not some have and some haven't. Not if you ask the Lord for it or believe for it, you will receive it. The Bible says that all Christians have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We are all equal. No one can run around here thinking they're better than another Christian or that they possess more of God than another believer does. So let me show you how that is a false teaching and contrary to the Word of God. Three places. Please write them down. Hold on to this handout containing these verses. A lot of work went into this. Okay? Let me prove through the Word of God what I said. First proof is Colossians 2:10. And I need some water. I'm trying to show you that when someone comes up, no, I've got it under here. I need to gasp for water for a second. I'm giving you the evidence. If someone ever comes up and asks you someday, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What they never expect from you is an answer. If you answered 100 of them, 99.999% wouldn't know what to do next. Because no Christian ever has an answer. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Your answer is, of course I have. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Right? Know the Word of God. That's just a real pet peeve of mine. Ignorant Christians that don't know the Word of God. All right, proof number one, that no Christian is better than you. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, says this, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You see, you lack nothing. You come short in no way. No Christian is better than you. No Christian has more of God than you. No one. You're complete. You've got it all. Proof number two, Romans 8:9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You catch that? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. You're not a Christian. Because all Christians have the Holy Spirit. Proof number three, 2 Peter chapter 1. This one's my favorite. Peter writes, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, the power of God has given to us all things that pertain to two things, life and godliness. You and I are 100% equipped to do all things through Jesus Christ that pertain with, first of all, how to live right. You don't lack anything to go out here and live right. You've got it all. He's given to us all things. And that's the true evidence of you being baptized by the Holy Spirit. How do you treat your wife? You want some evidence you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? How do you treat your wife? There's some evidence. How do you treat your husband? There's some evidence. Steal? Do you act like a devil? Do you smoke, chew, and swear? And you tell me you're baptized with the Holy Spirit? No, you don't do those kind of... It's evident for me to see by looking at how you treat your family. How you treat others. Which goes along with the second thing Peter said, godliness. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to you looking like Jesus when you look in the mirror. You've got it all. No less than Billy Graham or Adrian Rogers or anybody else. We're equal. You see, anything else breaks the unity. Here we are. We're like a train chugging along, right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here comes someone over here going, oh, no, no, no. I had a plate of linguine last night and had a dream. Someone told me there was five baptisms. You've broken the unity of the Spirit. Go take a seat somewhere. Unity. One baptism. Spirit baptism, not two. The Bible says one. Right? You got to decide where you're going to stand. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist says this. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. All right, now remember this, because in 2 minutes, I'm going to ask you to remember this. Notice the distinction with what he's going to say now. This is John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Notice the difference. Notice as we move, I'm going to cut to the chase and give you the whodunit before we get to the whodunit. Notice the person baptized with water is not saved. The water didn't save you. It's the Spirit baptism that came later did. So remember that when we get to that in a minute. I indeed baptize you with water. Under repentance. John came to pave the way, softened us up with a soft, tender heart. Thanking God we've been saved over some of these things that we've done. And now we're ready. We're right for Christ. I baptize you with water under repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It is this baptism our main text is talking about. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So what does that mean? How does it happen? Let's go back to the day of Pentecost, find that out. You guys want to turn with me, if you're able? Acts chapter 2. If you'd like to turn. If not, I'll just read it. No problem. Won't keep you more than another hour this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now this is the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is when it all began. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, and I don't mean Honda. Everyone knows Jesus drove a Rubicon. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Well, I'm going to get in trouble for saying Jesus drove on a Rubicon. I'm sorry for that. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit here on earth. To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to have the Holy Spirit enter your body just like these on Pentecost and take up residence on the inside of you. That's what this means. This means that when you became a Christian, you're not alone. God has taken up residence on the inside of you, just like Jesus said it was going to be. Listen to him. He said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Paul the Apostle says this. Listen to him. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's another. Examine yourselves as to whether or not you are part of the faith. Scrutinize yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You see, you possess the Holy Spirit just like the rest. Here's another, Romans 8:10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Here's another. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I like the NIV that says we have this treasure in jars of clay, breakable as they may be. We have this treasure in jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure is him. The jars of clay is us. Breakable. Short-lived. This was the great mystery of the church, is that someday God was going to take up residence inside of you. That's good news. And what blasphemy it is to think only some of you. Like if you're black, you can't have the Holy Spirit. If you're Italian, you can't have the Holy Spirit. Irish. What utter blasphemy. I'm going to tie that in here in a minute. Here's another. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his son in me. Not to him, in him. And the most famous one in all the world. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit taking up residence on the inside of you. That's what makes you a Christian. You've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Now, perhaps you say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes later on a believer, and the Bible defends that position. All right, let's do that. I've got time. How about you? You have two places to go to defend that faulty position. Let's look at both. You know, I smell mincemeat in the other room. Mincemeat pie. The first place to go is Acts chapter 19. See, if you believe that faulty position, there's only two legs that you stand on. And we're going to make mincemeat of both of them right now. The first, Acts 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Now it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples there, he said to them, now catch what he said. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Fair enough question, right? Something must have seemed strange for him to ask such a question as that. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. All right, stop right there. What's the problem with that we just looked at? Lay it on me, church. They weren't saved. John just told us that 5 minutes ago, didn't he? I baptize with water under repentance, but he that comes after me is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You can't point to these guys and say the Holy Spirit came on them later. They weren't saved yet. So, there goes your left leg. Now you're down to one. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. It's not even 11:30. We're doing fine. Almost done. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. This is the last place to go. This is the last place you can go in the Bible to make the preposterous statement that you have more of God than I do. There's only one place left. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Here we go. You ready? Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, different case. Something's wrong here. Here you have some people who seem to be believers and who have been baptized the proper way, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. Are my charismatic friends right and I'm wrong? Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. All right, what gives? This was the beginning of the church. If a group of people were not going to be allowed into the kingdom because of their heritage, like being African or Italian or Irish, imagine that. We're going to establish a doctrine right here that no blacks or Italians can become members of the church of Jesus Christ. That's what's being implied here. That God won't save these rotten old Samaritans here. Which is point number two. These guys were Samaritans. Look, Samaritan was a bad word to a Jew in the first century. There's no way was a Samaritan going to get into this club, they were thinking. So the proven formula of faith cometh by hearing and water baptism, this time didn't work with these guys. They had to send Peter and John there. The 1-2 punch of the church. The undisputed leaders of the church to actually lay hands on some Samaritans. Verse 17 again. It says they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, this was key to building the church at the beginning of the church. And that is that blacks and Italians and Mexicans are allowed in. These guys were hated so much. It was going to take the leaders of the church to lay hands on them and the Holy Spirit to show you, I approve. I approve of the blacks, of the Italians, of the Irish, of the Mexicans. I approve. I'm going to lay hands on them, and they're going to speak in tongues too. That's what it took. That's why this is different. These guys were hated so much that it was going to take the leaders of the church to show up and lay hands on them for anyone to believe. And that was key back then, that it had to happen. It was going to take leaders of the whole movement to see with their very own eyes that salvation is available to everyone. Jews, Italians, and the Irish. as many as the Lord our God will call. So, one Lord, one faith, one Spirit baptism, not two. Because for by one Spirit, the Bible says, we've all been baptized into one body. And what the problem is, you see, you cannot duplicate the book of Acts today. Acts is a historical book, and that's not happening anymore today. Acts is the book of the birth of the church. You want to know how it's all going to end? Go read the book of Revelation. Or 2 Thessalonians. But don't try to duplicate Acts, because that can't happen again. So, that's why.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory.
Oh, God.